Blog Talk Radio.
BlogTalkRadio.com. I am your host, Sam, and as always with me, my co-host, Kyle.
What's going on?
Happy Friday.
Yes, it's Friday. Fun-filled Friday. Love Fridays. Actually, it won't be a fun-filled weekend. No football. There is the Pro Bowl, but who the hell's going to watch that? We have a great show in store for you. We're going to talk a little bit about the AFC-NFC Championship game. We're going to talk a little bit about the Flate Gate, that's all over the news, all that crap about that. We'll talk about that. We're going to get a little more into NBA this week, since there's really nothing much to talk about with football, since we have until next week. We'll talk about that all. Next Friday's show will be all about the Super Bowl, who we think is going to win, and who has the advantage, and all that good stuff. Talk a little bit about the new $210 million man in Washington, D.C., as Max Scherzer. We'll definitely talk about some college basketball, NHL All-Star this week. So we got a lot in store for you. You can always catch us online at blogtalkradio.com/APSports. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Any one of those web addresses /APSports. We want to thank all our new fans that liked our page, hopefully listening to us. I think we're almost there to 1,000 likes.
Yep.
Pretty stoked about that. Keep it up. Let everybody know. Call in and let us know what you think of the show. We want to improve ourselves on this and all that. You know, we've been doing it for a year, but we're still newcomers to it and learning the gig and all that good stuff. But you can call us online. We're on the air for the next hour or so at 714-694-4511. Once again, you can get us at 714-694-4511. Call in, let us know what you think. Talk about anything we're talking about today. If there's anything you want to talk about with us, cricket, anything. Ultimate Frisbee, whatever there is around there, give us a call and let us know. We're going to start off with a little bit of the NFC-AFC Championship games last Sunday. Just briefly, maybe about 5-10 minutes, we'll talk about that and get into it. First one, NFC Championship game, Green Bay and Seattle. That was the best game of both of them, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Green Bay played lights out for 3.5 quarters, and then Seattle played lights out for the last 5 minutes or 7 minutes, including overtime, to come back and what a spectacular win. So there's a lot, but there's not much to say about how that just
that game was, if you're a Packers fan, obviously tough to swallow.
Big time.
Seahawks fans, pretty stoked. I know they have to know they kind of got away with one. It wasn't a bad call or anything. They just, Green Bay gave it up, you know.
Pretty much. No bad, you know, there were their bad calls. Russell Wilson looked pretty bad all the way till the last 5 minutes of the game. Green Bay looked a lot better than they did against Dallas, but
I don't, like, you said lights out, and like they played good, but I don't think they played lights out, because if they did, I think they would have put them away, because they settled for too many field goals early in the game. And the game could have easily been 20-0, 24-0, and then maybe even 28-0. They put all those in the end zone, which it's hard to do in Seattle, but when you're on the 1 yard line two times,
you got to punch it in.
You
got to
punch
big
one
boy
of those
anyway.
In. So,
and you can't really blame Bosic for the onside kick miss. There was a lot of other things that went down. With 5 minutes left, the ball gets intercepted, and you slide to the ground. You have 20 yards to run.
That's part of the blame, but yeah,
there's
the
so
two
much.
Point conversion.
It just feels like Detroit got screwed. And then Dallas karma, they got screwed. And now it just feels like karma hit Green Bay and Green Bay got screwed. It just feels like the NFC, since the divisional round, every game seems screwy in the NFC. AFC, it was just a different ball game. But yeah, congrats to the Seattle Seahawks on your very, very crazy comeback win to make it to your second straight Super Bowl.
To me, like, I don't want people saying this is a great game or this goes down as one of the best, because honestly, if you go back and watch the game, it's a terrible game. All, like, through and through, it was pretty sloppy. Green Bay should have put this game away early. You know, Russell's throwing like four picks. You know, Rodgers threw a couple picks himself. Like, it was not a good game per se.
It was just a great
ending.
It
was a great ending. Yeah, it was a great comeback.
No,
and
great.
That,
it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't
it was,
one of the greatest games if, all around.
If it was 28-22, you know, and they're trading blows back and forth, you know, and they go into overtime, that's probably an instant classic or something. But this was.
It was all Green Bay all the way till the end of the.
This was not a good game.
No.
Like, I mean, it was decent, but it wasn't a. I don't want to hear people say it's an all-time great.
It wasn't
game.
A great game. It was a. Great ending to a subpar game.
Yep, for sure. Yep.
But, you know, you Green Bay fans, you Seattle fans, you can both, you know, disagree with us. I think Green Bay will agree with us a little more since they lost. So. But yeah, you know, you got to put them away. I mean, we both thought it was over, but Russell Wilson is a special kid.
Yeah.
Special kid, so.
You have to admit, early in the game, I said that was a problem. They kept kicking field goals. So
yeah.
I had a feeling that might
I mean, to, you
come
know,
back and bite them.
You're on the one-yard line, and McCartney just decides to go for a field goal. And you have a pretty solid running back in Eddie Lacy that I think could have got it in there.
Yeah.
So field goals did hurt them in the long run. So, and then you have the AFC championship matchup, the Indianapolis Colts. I think they traveled to Foxborough that night. I'm not too sure which team showed up.
Yeah, they didn't look like they showed up.
They came into Foxborough, and Tom Brady, LeGarrette Blount, pretty much that whole team just that was one of the worst AFC championship games I've ever seen. Yeah, it was nasty out and everything, but the Colts couldn't stop the run. Obviously, they can't stop the run against the New England Patriots. LeGarrette Blount, another three touchdowns.
That was a bad game.
Yeah, another three touchdowns, over 100 rushing yards. And then controversy hits when Tom Brady gets intercepted, and DB goes to the over the line saying that the ball felt a little weird, so they checked it out during halftime. I don't know what happened. I guess they found out it was during halftime about it. So.
Yeah, the first half.
Yeah.
They were using
deflated
balls. Deflated
balls or whatever, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But needless to say, I don't think a deflated ball is going to help LeGarrette Blount run any better than he did. It just felt like another Jonas Gray was out there that day, that game. Kyle watched a little bit of it. He had to work that night. So, but
I mean, they're up 17-7 at halftime, and then apparently when the new, you know, properly inflated balls were given to them in the second half, they really ran away with it. So, didn't really, you know, deflated ball or not, didn't really cause anything. The Patriots just whooped them.
Yeah,
you know,
they
would have whooped them no matter
pretty
what.
Much Hanley whooped them. Obviously, the better team that night, Andrew Luck. He's gonna get there. He's gonna get there one day. He just needs to. Just think, he needs a little better squad around him come this next coming season if he wants to get over that hurdle. Because he's gonna be him and I believe him and Russell Wilson are gonna run this league for the next 10 years to come. So that's just my opinion on it. There are a lot of other quarterbacks out there that are, you know, still young. Can do their thing, but those two guys, you know, both came out of the same draft. Both have, I mean, led their teams to the playoffs every year they've been in. Obviously, Russell a little further than Luck, but Luck has a little more competition in the AFC when it comes to quarterbacks, with Brady and Peyton still,
the defense that Wilson has.
No. So. But those are your AFC, NFC Championship recaps. So now we have the Patriots and Seattle going to the Super Bowl. This is the sixth trip for the Patriots. And this is the second straight trip for the Seahawks, third all total.
Eighth total for the Patriots.
Six for Tom Brady.
Yep.
And then three for the Seahawks. 2005 was the first they went, and then back-to-back last year and this year. So next Friday's show is, we're letting you know, it's now all dedicated to the Super Bowl.
It's going
to
be a good game.
No matter what happens. So, all right, moving right along, we're going to move on to the deflate gate. They want to call it whatever they want to call it, how they want to call it, whatever. So, during the game, Brady throws an interception up down the middle going towards the end zone to Gronkowski. I don't know who it was who was intercepted it. Jaquel Jackson intercepted it, and I guess he felt that the ball was a little deflated, so he went over to the sideline, said something. So they looked at it at halftime, and they just kept – they let things go. Come Monday morning – all this is blown up. They said 11 out of the 12 balls were deflated, and so they blew up an investigation. Belichick comes to the, you know, has a little conference, says he didn't know anything about it. Tom Brady comes, says, he likes his balls certain ways, which is kind of weird. After he said everything he said, and then he goes, "Oh, I like to have my balls a certain way." So, who knows what? I know the protocol is each team has their own ball. They bring it to the officials. The officials check them out, make sure they're the right PSIs, which is supposed to be, I think,
it's between 12 and a half,
and they check them, make sure they're legit, and then they go about their business. it just seems like every year there's something going on with the Patriots, whether it be the Spygate, you know, whether it be this, that, another. It just seems like I'm not sticking up for them. I'm not saying, you know, they got caught for the Spygate. Boom, they lost a couple, you know, picks and this and that. If they are tagged for this, Roger Goodell really needs to come down hard on them. If he came down hard on the Saints for the bounty gate, which I understand is a totally different thing. You know, you're paying someone to injure a player, where this, you're just helping yourself grip the ball better, you know, so it's comfortable for you. I know it's two different things, but if Roger Goodell wants to make a statement, he really needs to come down hard on them. If Brady was involved, if Belichick was involved, you know, someone had to tell the equipment guy to, hey, we want the balls a little deflated. The equipment guy is not just going to deflate the balls himself and then go about his business, and then they go to the officials. And also, if the officials, if they take them to the officials and the officials, you know, do whatever they do with them, how do they not know that there's something wrong with them?
Well, I mean, the the refs checked them at the beginning of the game and said they were good. So, you know, something happened between the 2 hours from when they checked them to the start of the game. And, yeah, Tom Brady's press – I actually – Bill Belichick's press conference was a little more believable, in my opinion. But Tom Brady was very sort of wishy-washy. He was – not consistent with what he said in his press conference. You know, he said that out there on the field, he would not be able to tell a difference between the PSI and, you know, and the air pressure on the ball and stuff. But like he said he likes it a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, he likes it right at 12.5, basically at the very low end of the range,
yeah,
the legal range. So, and there was a couple other things, very inconsistent, you know, things he was saying in the in his press conference. So, I mean, if he told those guys to do that, he might as well have just come out and said it and gotten it over with, you know, because we all know that in that game in particular, it had nothing to do with that game or the outcome of the game, because the Colts didn't show up.
Yeah.
The Patriots whooped them from sideline to sideline from first quarter to the fourth quarter. Like,
they could have had their ball
over.
The ball could have been at 15 PSI.
They could have been throwing medicine balls out there.
it wouldn't have changed the game. And it doesn't, you know, running the ball doesn't change the game either. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't.
Yeah.
So,
that was the biggest takeaway for me, was Tom Brady was very inconsistent with what he was
and
saying.
And a lot of people were saying that, Keith Olbermann said that Belichick threw Brady under the bus. And
yeah.
That guy's just an idiot. He needs to go back to doing his politics.
Heard a couple other people, not just him, say that too. They thought he kind of threw him under, and then Brady threw the ball boy or whoever else under.
Bus.
But no ball boy is going to change it. I mean, we've heard Mark Brunell,
yeah,
Troy Aikman, and a couple others say that they would not do that. And then Drew Brees today, they're interviewing him at the Pro Bowl practice,
yeah,
and stuff. And he said that if you gave him a ball that was 11 pounds and one that was like 13 or 13 and a half, he said there's a significant change.
Yeah, you can feel the difference
in
it.
You can squeeze it a little more.
Yeah.
So
but it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game. So this has nothing to do with how the game was won or anything like that. It just.
But the bottom line is, it's still cheating.
Yeah,
the rules are rules that are there to govern the games. Like, it's to make a level playing field, you know, for any of these sports. You know, baseball has its rules, NBA,
yeah,
you know, hockey, and so does the NFL. They have these rules to govern teams to have the most level playing field. Now, level playing field, you go out, your team's better than that team, and you pound them. They're fair and square. You're the better team.
Yes.
Like, and there you go.
If they are found guilty, it's hard not to say they won't be found guilty. And I mean, what's going to be hard to find is if Belichick knew about it. Obviously, Brady has to know about it because he's handling the balls.
Yep.
I can understand Belichick not knowing about it because a lot of these coaches, besides Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh, they're not out on the field passing with their players. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they don't understand what the feel of the ball is like. So I can understand him saying that he doesn't know it. Because I don't see Belichick is not that type of head coach out on the field playing catch, this and that. We've known that. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You never see him, you know, you never see him on the practice field when the game's about to start.
Jim Harbaugh would be throwing with Alex Smith and Kaepernick all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
So.
Different approach.
Different approaches. But Brady, you've been in this league long enough. You know what balls feel like. that didn't sound right, but.
so many jokes can go with this deflation.
You know what you know what a football feels like. It's hard to believe him because of how he would say things, and then he would just kind of like, well, like, what really tipped it off is when he's like, well, I like my football a certain, you know, way. And it's like,
but then he's like, well, I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
What do you mean you won't be? You're a professional.
You just said you like it a certain way.
You're a professional football player. You've been doing this long enough. You should know. You know what the feel of a football
is
like. So.
And my last thing before we talk about what we think the punishment should be, last thing I'll say is no ball boy is going to, when Brady says, like, the footballs are the way he likes them, no ball boy is going to, like, most likely that ball boy is a huge diehard New England Patriots fan.
Yeah.
He would not, if Brady's like, I mean, even me, and I don't like the Patriots, if he was like, if I was his ball boy, he's like, here, this is the way I like it. Okay. I'm
whatever
not going to touch
want.
It. Like,
yeah.
That's, like, dude, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback right there. The guy's not going to change it unless Brady said something to him or there was a third party and Brady told someone else to tell him to do that. You know what I mean? That's all I got to say.
Hey,
there's
I don't like how the way this ball is. Go tell the ball boy I want it a little softer.
Exactly. Something like that.
Just so if it did occur, or it did come out, Brady's not going to get more of the hit like the guy, like the third party's going to get.
Yeah.
So
the middleman.
The middleman will take all the blame. So with that being said, Lee comes down, they find out it was, you know, Brady and Belichick did know about it.
Yep.
What should be the consequences for this? Since this is their second offense, this is not just the first time where, obviously, if it was a first time offense, we wouldn't have heard about it. I mean, we would have heard about it, but it wouldn't be as blown up as it has been.
Yep.
This is their second offense. They got hit for the Spygate. That's your second offense. It's like, you know, slap on the wrist first time.
And that's all it was, slap on the wrist.
Yeah, a couple picks, and that was like, what, third, fourth round? It wasn't even hard hitting to them for picks.
I think all they did was take one. I think it was just one
pick.
Like
a third or a fourth round pick. It was a late round pick. So oh my God, you know, this is really going to hurt the team. So, but this is your second offense. I think they should have a stiffer penalty for it. What do you think the outcome should be for the penalty?
I mean, for me, it's either got to – it can go two ways. It's either you got to take their first and second-round pick from this coming-up draft and hurt their salary cap room too, and take next year's first-round pick. Like, take 2 years of first-round picks out and this year's second and hurt their salary cap by, you know, $10 million, $15 or something. You know, something to where they can't sign a certain person or two people or something.
Yeah.
Or – Belichick gets suspended a whole year, you know, or at least 8 games. Maybe even Tom Brady gets suspended, and they still lose a first round pick. It's got to be hard, man. It's got to be somewhere along those lines, you know. And they can't just be one draft pick and we're good. It's like, no, you take the top two, you take one from next year, you hurt their salary cap, or you suspend their head coach, which would hurt a lot. Look what it did to the Saints.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
So.
What do you think?
I think they should take all their draft picks away from this year, every single round that they have, all their picks.
There you go.
Okay, and their first-round pick for the following season, 2016. Brady should be suspended 8 games if he was hardcore lighted. Right. Obviously, my opinion, Brady knows something about it. That's just my opinion. 8-game suspension for him and full season for
Belichick.
You need to put it hard on them. This is not their first offense. They're also known for other things too. Dig into them. Let them see how it feels like the Saints felt when Sean Payton was gone.
Even if you just suspend both of them for 8 games, you know, they're both suspended the first half of the season. Like, you know, even if you say they don't take any draft picks away or something, but they just suspend Brady and Belichick for 8 games. Next year, first half of the season, that hurts them real bad.
Oh yeah,
real bad.
take
their two biggest pieces away.
Yeah, take all their picks away and hurt them in the salary cap, or suspend them both 8 games and
the salary cap. I mean,
it wouldn't hurt it because it wouldn't let them be able to get a nice.
No,
you know,
I agree, but. Freaking Tom Brady, you know, he takes pay cuts all the time, so it wouldn't hurt them as much as it would like other teams, you know. The draft picks or suspensions is where they're really going to hurt the Patriots.
They need to get hit with their draft picks or suspensions.
And they should not be allowed to trade draft picks, because we know how much they trade back and just gather
late,
you
round.
Know, like say they take away just like their top two this year, which is big, but then they still have five. Man, the Patriots could weasel their way to still get like 8 to 10 picks by trading away and just gathering late ones. You know, you got to have some kind of stipulation in there too. You got to think of like Goodell's really got to sit down and think who's the criminal here, and that this is the Patriots. This is how they run. You need to hit how they run. Like, okay, you want to have a unfair advantage for games? Well, I'm going to give you an unfair disadvantage for your off season or something. You know what I'm saying?
He needs to Goodell if he wants to get back on good with the fans, because I'm not a Goodell lover.
Most people aren't. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's really turned this game around in a bad way.
Even Troy Aikman today.
Yeah.
made comments that, you know, a lot of people think
he needs to
a terrible job.
He needs to the way he screwed up on the Ray Rice ordeal. If he really wants to start getting little back favoritism from the fans, he's gonna have to come harder and the right way on this, and not just do something and all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, okay, you know what? I changed my mind. You're suspended the whole season.
Yeah.
So he's gonna, he really needs to sit down and think hard about it, and you know, come out. I mean, he just needs to put the hammer on him, and I'm talking hardcore.
His first order of business right now should be that he shouldn't be thinking about anything else. But this, you know, spend all your time.
And it sucks because it does take away from the Super Bowl that is coming up and all that. I know it's 2 weeks away, but still, you know, instead of them talking about, you know, the matchups and all that, you know, they're going to talk, you know, ESPN is going to talk about it, but then also it's going to come to that Spygate.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, not Spygate, the Deflategate. So.
Which Spygate will be brought up too. Oh, hey, remember Spygate?
So, you know, it's...
A good friend of mine said yesterday, he said, if I had one word to describe the Patriots, it would be shady or sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Belichick-Brady era?
Yeah.
It's shady.
It's just going to be, like I told you the other day, their championships are just going to have asterisks on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's tough, you know. I mean, what could have been if they never checked out that Marshall Faulk during the Super Bowl, you know, his runs and all that, you know, what could have been, would they have won that game without having a spy in on it and all that, so, but, you know, he needs to come down hard, he needs to come down tremendously hard, and once everything is clear and they know every single thing, he needs not to wait. He needs to come out and just be like, boom, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So right now, as they're investigating, he should be plotting how are these guys going to be. How am I going to hurt this team? How am I going to let them feel the pain of what you did is not right for the NFL?
Yep.
So, because Roger Goodell, you screwed up a lot. A lot of us fans don't care for the way you are making this game. I still don't think, even if you come down hard on them, that it's going to change our minds about you. But at least it'll start bringing it into the right direction. So,
I mean, whether how puny and small you think the, you know, whole deflating of the footballs is, it's still breaking the rules. And like I said earlier, a few minutes back, the rules are there for a reason. They're there to govern sports, you know, to make a level playing field. So whether you break this rule or you break a rule, you know, something that would seem worse, it should be the same level. It's cheating, it's cheating.
So. Yep. But that's pretty much the Deflategate. We didn't want to talk about it too much since obviously everybody's heard about it all week long. We just wanted to give you our opinions on what we thought or what we think should be. If you want to call and give us your opinions about it or let us know what you thought of the NFC and AFC championship games, you can call us at 694. I'm sorry. Hold on. I totally forgot my number. 714-694-4511. Once again, that's area code 714-694-4511. And we'll be on the air for the next hour or so. So hit us up. Excuse me. Let us know what you thought of those championship games and what you think should happen to the Patriots, Brady, Belichick, and so on and so forth. So, all right, moving right along. We are almost mid-season through the NBA season. And
oh, yeah.
What a season we have. Some teams that we didn't expect to be where they are or where they're at. Teams we expected to be where they are not where they're at. So I'm going to run through the list of where the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference is. Okay, so brace yourselves because the Eastern Conference obviously is all over the place. But right now, if the playoffs should start, the number one seed for the Eastern Conference would be the Atlanta Hawks.
That's right.
35-8.
That's right, the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, once again, folks, that's the Atlanta Hawks at a 35-8.
14-game win streak right now.
14-game. They know how to play some ball. Great ball handling. Nothing crazy. They got that San Antonio Spurs finesse to them. So Popovich has taught his assistants well.
Yeah,
so,
the coaching tree has begun.
Yes, it has. The number two seed would be the Washington Wizards at 29-14. John Wall and Bradley Beal are a pretty nice duo. And then you add Nene and Martin Gortat and then the rest of the supporting cast around them. They're a pretty solid squad.
John Wall has taken the next step.
Yes, he has. Excuse me. Number three seed are the Toronto Raptors at 27-15. The fourth seed is the Chicago Bulls at 28-16. They still got a lot of gelling to do. Noah and Gasol are just not on the same page together. If they were, that would be a pretty tough, you know, forward center duo to deal with. Derrick Rose, you just need to play and stop worrying about your knee all the time because then it's going to hurt you. That's why you keep hurting yourself. So,
they did look good last night, though.
From what I heard, I saw that.
They whooped the Spurs last night. So it's always a good if you whoop up on the Spurs, it's a good thing because Spurs always bring it. So,
whoops, where are we at? I'm sorry. the fifth seed are the Cleveland Cavaliers. They won four in a row with LeBron James coming back. So that's it. They're gonna win it all. LeBron's back. They all gelled. Whatever, folks.
A lot of people thought they'd be the number one right now.
Yeah. So they got a
change.
Lot. They got a lot to deal with. So, number six is the Milwaukee Bucks at 21-21. Number seven are the Miami Heat at 18-24. That's right. They have a losing record, but are still in the playoffs. It's just started today. and then number eight are the Brooklyn Nets at 18-25. So you have two teams that would make the Eastern Conference playoffs with losing records if it just started now. So, folks, Kyle and I are Eastern Conference fans. We're Knicks fans, and we're not going to lie. Proud of it, no matter how bad we are. But our Eastern Conference is just horrendous.
Yep.
Horrible. It's sad because in the 80s and 90s, Eastern Conference was tougher than the Western Conference. I know Jordan was in there, but he also had his foes with, you know, Ewing and, you know, there was just so many players in the Eastern Conference that both conferences were the best they could be.
Yep.
But now it's just like the freaking polar opposite big time. So then you have Charlotte not far behind the Brooklyn Nets at 18-25. And then Detroit 17-26, Boston 14-26, Indianapolis 15-29, Orlando 15-30, Philly 8-34, and the New York Knicks at 7-36. And we are hoping we just blow the rest of our season because there is one big man from the University of Duke named Okafor that I want badly. I can't stand Duke, but young gentlemen can just light the scoreboard up, can light the backboards up. So please, New York, as one fan telling you this, play, but don't play. If you understand what I'm saying. So, all right, now the Western Conference, we have the Golden State Warriors with the number one seed at 34-6. The Slap Brothers, Splash Brothers, Thompson and Curry, pretty solid duo right there.
Great awesome stuff.
So, Memphis at number two seed at 30-12. What can you say, Molly? What can you say about them? You got Gasol and Randolph. Randolph, why couldn't you play like that in New York? But oh well. Number three seed, Portland Trailblazers at 31-13. But there was some news that they had someone was injured on their team today.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge
is out
6 to 8 weeks.
Six to 8 weeks. So hopefully they can hold it up. I mean, there's still a lot of time left, but the Western Conference is the best and toughest conference. Number four, you have the Dallas Mavericks at 30-13. That Rondo trade is really showing some effect with them. Number five seeds the Clippers at 29-14. Number six seed is Houston at 29-14. Seventh seed are your defending champs, the San Antonio Spurs at 27-17. And then number eight seed is Phoenix at 26-18, which I don't see that holding up because the Oklahoma City Thunder with Westbrook and Durant look fully healthy now. They once those two click, it's pretty tough to stop them. They're at 22-20. You have the New Orleans Pelicans at 21-21. Denver's 18-24. Sacramento's 16-26. Utah's 15-28. Lakers are 12-31. And Minnesota is 7-34. Minnesota, you got to win a couple more games. Come on.
Yeah, come on now.
So, those are your standings for the Eastern or Western Conference Finals. I mean, I'm sorry, Western Conference leagues. Kyle and I have bashed up a couple of questions to bang off of each other to talk about the NBA. So I will let Kyle go first with his question.
I want you to go first. Okay. You want to put me on the spot here?
I mean, I can go first as well.
No, it's all good. All right. Well, I'll start with an obvious one. Kobe with this latest injury.
Uh huh.
I know his season's done, but do you think his career is done? And if so, where does he rank all time?
Kobe's been like, he's been hot and cold with me. There's sometimes I've liked him, there's sometimes I haven't. He's a gamer. He wants to be the best. Actually, he wants to be better than Jordan, and everybody knows that. He wants to be Michael Jordan, but the next level. He wants everybody to be talking about him when it's all said and done. He wants to be, I was the greatest, you know, point guard of all time. Jordan was second to me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's taking a toll on him because he's just, you know, been playing through injuries and just, you know, I mean, what, he's like 38 years old now? 37, 38, got to be around that age.
Yeah, 36, 37. 30,
yeah. I think maybe rehab this year, you know, rests up, see how he does during the off season. But I think he needs to throw in the towel. He has the 5 championship rings. I know he wants that glorious 6th one, so then he's on the same pedestal.
Yeah.
What it comes down to with Kobe is he wants, like, he just wants to be Jordan. I see it. I don't know how other fans see it, but I see it like that. He wants that 6th ring. He wants to be, you know, on that pedestal with Jordan. Watching him is like watching a Jordan Jr. because everything Jordan did, he just, emulated.
Yeah. I mean, the jump shot's the exact
it's
same.
Everything Jordan did, Kobe's doing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say where he ranks all time because he never put his game, he never took his game to another level. You know what I'm saying? Like, he never, not to another level. He never made his own game, because he pretty much emulated Jordan throughout his whole career. But if I have to say, if he threw in the towel, said his career was over, he's got to be ranked in the top 10 all time.
Yeah.
I believe so. I mean, five championship rings, yes, you did. Three of them with Shaq, but then the other two, you really just had Gasol with you.
Yeah.
So you pretty much took it over. So, I mean, the first three, you got to give a lot of credit to Shaq, because Shaq was still in his prime. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Came over from the Magic in his prime. The most one of the most dominant centers ever to play the game.
Yep.
You know, it was tough to beat them when they three-peated.
Yeah.
So, but the last two, you know, you got to give it to Kobe. He didn't really have that, you know, solid team around him. He had Gasol. He had the pieces.
Yeah.
You know. So, but I have to rank him in the top 10.
Yeah, he'd be in the top 10 for sure. Him and Shaq didn't have those egos back in the day. They would have probably won like 6-7 championships together. You know.
Yeah. I think he would have. You know. Up his shoes if they want to, I think, you know, because like I said, he really wants.
If they could have put their egos aside, they could have won a lot more championships than they did, but
I think, yeah.
He's in the top 10 for me, too. Closer to the bottom part of the 10, you know, but
yeah.
He's still top 10. I mean, think about people who played in the NBA. It's
yeah, the people,
to,
you know, the people before us that we never,
nothing
yeah.
If you know that, though, I mean, he's.
Dude, even
you know,
being in the top 20 in
of course.
An NBA league that had so much talent, that, you know.
I mean,
top 100s even.
Right off the top of my head, just a few of the people I'd rank above him. Obviously, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq, Bill Russell. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Tim Duncan, I think I'd put above Kobe, too.
Yeah, Oscar Robertson. I think Oscar Robertson played.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, and that's not, dude, those are the greatest players ever. And
yeah.
He's right behind them, you know, so.
You know what I'm saying? Even, I mean, top 50, top 100, you got, I mean, they're just.
It's mad respect.
It's mad, yeah.
Mean, nobody can question
how determined Kobe's always been determined, and.
Nobody can question his competitiveness,
yeah.
His desire to win. He worked at it, you know. He couldn't stand people who didn't practice as hard as him, and
yeah.
That's why I think that's the ultimate reason him and Shaq didn't get along, because Shaq was a little lazier, you know.
Oh yeah,
Shaq
definitely.
Was just naturally dominant, so.
Shaq didn't have to do a lot of work. You just throw him the ball in the middle, and who's gonna stop that? So, but you and I are both on the same page. Definitely top 10. You know, you can't. No, I mean, you can't really rank him above the top 10, obviously, because there's so many other
there's
players.
A lot,
there's
yeah.
a lot. You know, the NBA produced what they produced for a reason. So, my question is, with all this lovey-dovey, huggy before the game and, you know, ticky-tack this, you know, don't hurt this, don't hurt that player. How the way the NBA has changed from the 80s till now, do you think it's still competitive like it was in the 80s where a foul, you're going to get elbowed in the face and they're not going to call it on you, but now you touch the guy on the nose and you get a foul called?
Yeah, I don't the intensity is not as high as it was.
Everybody's loving, you know, they're on the court, oh, hey, bro, what's up, man, you know, this and
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
When back in the 80s, it was like, they walked on the court, they looked at each other like, you better be ready because someone's going to get their teeth knocked out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the intensity is not nearly what it was. Like, the person with the most intensity right now who plays like that is Russell Westbrook. Like, he has no friends out there on the court, you know,
mm-hmm.
unless you're on his team. Like, he comes out ready to go. Durant's kind of the same way when he gets mad, you know, but, like, it was weird seeing LeBron and Kobe all lovey-dovey, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe more because Kobe knows his career is coming to an end, because he wouldn't normally be like that, even though him and LeBron are friends. But LeBron isn't, you know, he's the face of the NBA right now, and he's not an intense guy as far as that goes, you know. So it makes for, you know, less. I mean, Tim Duncan's still old school. You know, he's an intense guy, quiet about it, but he's still intense. But, yeah, it's not the same like it was then. Not even close when
yeah.
it comes to that.
I mean, what do you see in, like, the next 10 years? It's going to be like, you know, you're just going to let the guy drive to the lane without touching him?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get that bad, but I think.
Because now you got this younger generation watching it, and they're, you know, I'm sitting next to a younger guy or something, and like, oh man, this is what NBA is all about. And it's like, no, son, let me show you what NBA is all. This is what I grew up watching in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see the other night, Steph Curry and Trevor Ariza kind of going at it a little bit. You know, the Rockets and Warriors are getting chippy. You know, I miss that kind of stuff. I want to see that.
It just doesn't seem like there
on a nightly basis.
It
you know?
Doesn't seem like there is rivals in the NBA anymore.
Yeah, no, there's not. No, there's not. Not at all.
No,
nope.
Not one bit. There's no rivals. Like
I can't think of.
Like the Knicks and Bulls in the 80s and 90s, rivals.
Yeah.
The Bulls, every team was the Bulls' rivals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bulls, Blazers, Bulls,
even,
you know, Bulls,
even
Celtics.
Jazz Bulls.
Jazz Bulls.
Back-to-back.
Suns Bulls.
Finals.
Yeah.
You know, that was intense.
It so,
was,
everybody.
They didn't like each other.
Everybody hated the Bulls. In
yep.
the 90s.
Yep, pretty much.
You know, the Knicks Heat always had their rivals. Look at
Spurs Rockets with
yeah.
Robinson and Olajuwon. That was a huge rivalry right there,
uh-huh.
those two going at it. You think of it now, it's like probably the best rivalry, I'd have to say right now, if I had to think about it. Like last year with Paul George healthy, it would have been Pacers Heat, you know, with LeBron on
yeah.
the Heat. But right now, I'd have to say the Spurs and the Mavericks, because Dirk and Duncan have been on those, like, two have been on those teams for so long. They played each other for
yeah.
so long. In my opinion, that would have to be because they don't like each other.
Yeah.
You know, it still has a little bit of that feel to it. Anything else, though, I can't really.
There's nobody.
I can't really think of it, you know. Maybe Rockets Thunder, because Harden still has those feelings towards the Thunder, and then Westbrook is just an intense guy anyway and hates everybody who's not on his own team.
Yeah.
But. I mean, you know, Kobe and Shaq Lakers against the Spurs, like that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely it's long past those days.
Yeah, you have
which
those,
sucks,
you
man.
Know,
I wish we still had
yeah,
that kind
that,
of stuff.
That's what basketball is all about for all you young people. If you're listening, basketball nowadays, I
want to see someone get clotheslined.
Yeah,
man.
I like watching it, but I just don't. It's not what you know. Now you're getting like. They're getting, it's just more high scoring now because there's no defense because you can't do anything properly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron goes in, I'll tell you this right now. If LeBron played, LeBron or Durant or Westbrook, you know, Chris Paul, I think Blake Griffin could take a hit, but maybe Blake Griffin. Those guys played in the 80s and 90s. If Bill and Beard's in the middle of the paint, and you're coming in for a dunk or a layup, be prepared because that guy's just gonna clothesline you. Or if Mason or Oakley,
oh, Westbrook would have been ready.
Or
he'd be all about
or,
it.
Or
he'd
Dennis,
be all about the
or,
contact.
Or Dennis Rodman was in there.
Yeah,
you guys you gotta be ready. It's not you know, and you could have turned around and looked at the ref, and he would have been like, it's a play.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah,
it just feels like it's gone a lot soft.
Miss the rivalries for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was the best thing about them. So.
Yeah. Okay. Go to the standings real quick. So help you out with this. My next question for you. With we mentioned his name earlier when we were going over the West. But with Aldridge out 6 to 8 weeks, you know, possibly 2 months. How far do you think they drop from number 3 right now in the Western Conference? Portland Trail Blazers.
I could see them dropping to the 7th seed just because LaMarcus Aldridge is a big part of that team. I know, you know.
Huge.
I know they have Damian Lillard, but, I mean, look what they both did together last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them dropping out of seed. I just see them dropping low because Dallas has gotten tougher picking up Rondo. The Clippers, you know, what Austin Rivers on the team now, gonna help them out a lot. Just joking about that, but the Clippers can get better. Houston, you know, James Harden, I think, you know, he wants to prove to, he still wants to prove to Oklahoma City that he was the better fit for them. And then you can't forget the defending champs, the Spurs. They know when to put it in the gear.
Yep.
So, and then you got the Phoenix Suns. So I can see them dropping a good 3-4 seeds. So,
and I'll just, you know, I'll back you up with some stats, but Aldridge right now averaging 23.2 points a game, 10.2 rebounds, shooting at 46%, you know, playing 35 minutes a game. It's a big blow. Big part of that team. So, I mean, Damian Lillard's sick. Batum's having a pretty terrible season, but, you know, now he's actually injured too. He's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of it's going to fall on Damian Lillard right now. And, you know, Wesley Matthews, they need Robin Lopez back. But I think they're going to fall pretty hard because look at the teams that are behind them.
Yeah.
Dallas, LA, Houston, Spurs,
yeah.
Thunder still trying to get up there too. It's going to be tough.
The Western Conference is the toughest conference.
Yeah. You lose someone like that. I mean, look at the Thunder. I mean, they had their two guys out for a combined quite a few games. You know, and they're right there. I mean, they're on the heels of Phoenix right now.
Oh, yeah.
But they're digging themselves out of a huge hole.
When they
were like 7-15 at one point. It was bad.
They didn't win a game until what? They're quite a while, right?
Yeah, they went a while without winning a game at one point. It was Reggie Jackson leading the charge. You know.
Yeah. It's tough on Portland. So. All right. Excuse me. My next question to you is Atlanta, hottest team right now, 35-8. Pretty solid squad. Got that finesse like the San Antonio Spurs. Do you see them as a threat when the playoffs come around?
Oh, absolutely. First reason is they number one defense in the league. They play the best defense. Better than the Spurs right now. I mean, like, they're holding people to, I think, 95 or 96 points a game or something. That right there. And then they know how to share the ball. They got three legit players, in my opinion, with Paul Millsap, Al Horford, as long as Al Horford can stay healthy. And then Jeff Teague is kind of taking his game to the next level. And if they get home court, not that they have a crazy home court like Golden State or something, but it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt to have
home court. Never hurts.
It doesn't hurt to have that one seed. say right now they played Brooklyn. They would smash Brooklyn probably in a sweep. You know, maybe 4-1. Then they get to the second round and they're gonna play either Chicago or Cleveland. At this point, they play Chicago. Chicago's always worn down because they play their players too long. You know, they don't look the same right now. Noah's beat up. You know, he's missed 4 or 5 games. Because I believe Cleveland will probably end up at like 2 or 3 by the end of the season. They'll click enough to get up there. So Atlanta wouldn't have to play them until the Eastern Conference Finals. And even then, I think they could beat Cleveland as well. They play better defense. I mean, you shut someone else down, you know, that's, you can win a game like that. That's the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, definitely.
Any sport, defense is a huge key.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta definitely is the surprise team of the year at 35-8. Like you said, I'll back you up with Millsap, Hawford, and Teague. Teague has definitely taken his game to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't hurt when you have a, Greg Popovich type of coaching staff there, you know.
And they bought into the system.
Yeah. So I can see them as a threat. Definitely, you know, home court definitely will help them out a lot. It helps out no matter who you are. It's going to help you out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to just come out right now and say they're going
to go to the,
you know, win the whole thing,
yeah,
and stuff. But they're not going to be easy for anybody, and that includes LeBron and Cleveland if they end up playing them. That easily could be a 7-game series right there. And I could see the Hawks winning that series too. So
sweet.
All right, sir. At the midway point here, who is your midseason MVP right now?
You know, I talk bad about this guy a lot, but Russell Westbrook is my midseason MVP. Not just because he's my guy on my fantasy league, but just because the way he's been playing. And it was tough, you know. I mean, you also got to give Seth Curry, look what he's doing for Golden State. Jeff, you know, Teague for Atlanta. You know, there's a lot, but I just think Russell Westbrook has just gone balls to the wall. And, I mean, the other night hitting that game-winning shot over at Washington, I mean, just I have to give it to him.
Right now he would be third on my voting. And he could easily go up to number one, especially if Oklahoma keeps rising in the ranks and stuff, because he's playing like a madman. But right now I got Curry number one. He's got the number one team. He is the straw that stirs the drink kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still – I think I got some stats here. My number two is my guy on my fantasy team. James Harden's having a really good year too. Can't deny that.
No, definitely
he's
not.
Putting up some numbers as well. And he's got his team the sixth spot right now, I believe. But
yeah.
Curry's, he's got, let's see here.
All right.
Mr. Curry.
Offensive leader. James Harden's leading he averages 27.2 points a game.
Curry's got 23.2 right now. He's got 8 assists a game, 4 rebounds, and Curry's shooting at 50% right now from the field. And that's a guard. You know what I mean? And he shoots a lot of threes, and he's shooting 40% from three right now too. So he's my guy for MVP. And then James Harden said, like you said, right now he's leading the league in scoring 27 points a game. And I believe he also has 6 assists a game, and he's shooting 45% from the field too. So
Beard.
He's my number two, but
Curry
is number one. And like I said, Russell's right there, number three, and he could easily get to number one. He's playing like that. Oklahoma keeps rising up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yes, sir.
There's guys that are playing this season that you didn't expect to be playing the way they're playing. So it's pretty crazy season. So, all right, my question to you: if the Knicks are trying to tank the season, which I hope we are, no offense, should Melo just call it a season?
Yeah, for sure. There's no reason to possibly further injure yourself. He could injure himself real bad.
And then he could be out for the remainder of this season and then a little bit of next season. It all depends on what the injury is.
Half the next season, yeah. So, we're already 7-36, just sit him, let some of these other guys play, see if you have anything good out of some of these other guys.
Yeah.
I think there's absolutely no point. I mean, I have him on my fantasy team. It'd be nice if he played and put up some stats. The last couple of games, he's put up some nice stats, but there's absolutely no point, in my opinion, for him to do that at all. So, what do you think?
I think so. I mean, I'm hoping we're, I want us to play, but because with the NBA, it's a lot tougher. You're not guaranteed the number one pick if you have the losing record because you got the lottery.
Yeah.
And in our luck, we can have the losing record. Your percentage chances are better, but
we'll get the fifth pick.
You'll get the fifth pick, and then there goes who we really want. Which, I mean, me and Kyle are on the same page. You know, Kyle's a Duke fan. We watched the game last week, and that young man Okafor, even Dick Vitale, and what's her name?
Doris Burke.
Off the record, said, she hopes the Knicks get Okafor, and I hope we get Okafor because I think it'll feel like it's a rejuvenation of when the Knicks picked up Patrick Ewing in the 80s when we picked him up. Like, I'm not saying he's gonna lead us to the promised land, but he's sure as hell gonna help us. where we need to be.
Better than what we have right now.
Yeah, because that young man can ball. Just as long as he doesn't get hurt, like, I'm sorry, like freaking Jabari Parker did.
Yeah.
So.
But yes, I think, you know, and it's going to be tough because you have Minnesota and then you have Philly that are, you know, down the tube too. So.
Yeah.
Which there were rumors that they had Michael Carter Williams on the trading block. Come to New York.
Yeah, come on.
Come home.
Come on over.
Come to two Syracuse boys right there.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Yeah. So.
Who is your biggest all-star snub? Dwayne Wade or James Harden?
James Harden.
Okay.
No offense to Dwayne Wade. I mean, you know, he's got his career, he's got his three rings.
He's had a good season too.
Great, he's having a great season. He's got his team in playoff contention, even though it's in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I mean, Eastern Conference. But still, he's got his team in playoff contention.
Right.
Him and Bosch, you know. I think a lot of us want to see them win just to show LeBron that, hey, you know, you are a big piece, but we could still do it without you. So, I mean, he's playing a hell of a lot better this season than he has in the past couple of seasons, because I think he knew he could have laid off a little bit because he had that other star with him. But, you know, but when he needed to turn on his gear, he turned on his gear. But James Harden leading the league in scoring, leading his team. You could take Dwight Howard out of Houston, and I still think they would be a good team.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Because
Dwight Howard's I can't stand Dwight Howard. He's a big baby. You know, you're what the NBA is looking for now, the softies. Because you could be so dominant.
Yeah, he's soft.
But he's so soft.
He wouldn't last 5 days in the old days.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But for them to do that to him. Leading the league, has his team in great position in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And you go and snub him. And that's the thing that this actually is going to lead into my question, so we'll just put both of our questions together.
Well, I'll just say, like, I agree with you, too, because Kobe, I get it. You know, they voted him in because of, like, what he's done before, you know? Because he got this – it was Curry and Kobe got the guard starts for the West. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I get Kobe's – you know, done his thing and all that, but I mean, you got to look at this season, and James Harden has had a much better season than Kobe Bryant. There's no reason Kobe should have gotten that vote over James.
It's fans.
I know, and it doesn't make sense though. I mean, what games are you watching? James Harden has had such a better season than Kobe. Anyways,
well, my question is the same. The biggest snub should they change the way the All-Star vote
absolutely
are.
It should be
it should be writers should be and writers. Writers and sports reporters over the fans, because the fans are gonna pick their favorites. Like, they're gonna always pick LeBron. Okay, Carmelo's in the All-Star game. I'm sorry,
that's stupid.
I love him.
That's
we
stupid.
Got a bad team. Stupid. I know he's doing what he could do, but he should be in
and
the
All-Star
game.
And how many games has he missed?
Yeah, and
a
he's
lot.
Missed games. Just like Kobe's missed games. Like LeBron's missed games. It's just the fans put who they want in there when they don't. That's why I feel like the NBA is just, it's just mind-boggling due to the fact, because if people are watching the games just for those certain players, they're not watching the game for the game.
Yeah.
They're watching the game to see how many points Seth Curry is going to score that night, how many points James Harden is going to do, how many blocks is Blake Griffin going to get, what's the magnificent dunk Blake Griffin's going to do, what craziness is Russell Westbrook going to do, you know, what kind of crazy shot is Kobe going to throw up, you know, or Durant, or this and that. They're not really watching it for your statistical stats or your all-around game. So then the fans come in to vote, and they're like, oh, snap. Hey, Kobe. I love Kobe. Let's just love Kobe. Oh, LeBron. We know LeBron. Oh, there's Melo. Oh, what we got? Chris Paul. Oh, James Harden. I've never seen him play. Dwayne Wade. He doesn't have LeBron with him anymore, so I don't know about that. Chris Bosh, same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but LeBron. Oh, LeBron. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's bad. They need to change it 100%. Tell him I gotta go home and take the dog out. Sorry, that was way off sports topic.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I mean, it'll take 5 minutes.
Thank you. Sorry, folks.
Sorry, folks. Anyways, all right, so on to my question here. Let's see what we got. What's next on my list here? Okay. We're almost near the end here, so I'll just throw out one more question. You throw out one more. You want to do that?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we'll go on to Max Scherzer.
Well, first off, before he gets onto his next question, if you folks have a telephone that's sitting right next to you, don't be shy. Call in 714-694-4511. These are great topics we're talking about, but it's just us two talking about it. We want to hear your opinion on what we just talked,
seriously,
you know, stuff we talked about. We want to know who you think your all-star snub is. We want to know why you think fans should still vote, or why writers and the media should vote. So let us know. Give us a call, 714-694-4511. We don't bite because we can't bite. So
yeah, no, seriously, we want you to call in. We want to hear your topics. You know, come up with some topics we don't talk about either. You know, we're down for everything. I want to hear your opinions and stuff. So, my last question is pretty easy. I think we're probably thinking the same team, but maybe not. I don't know. If the playoffs started right now, what team? Let's just say end of the season. What team should no other team want to play in the playoffs right now? With the way teams are playing right now, whether they're in or out of the playoffs at this current moment, what team should any team not want to play right now?
Whether they're in or out of the playoffs right now?
Right.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay, we're on the same page. Yeah. If they make it into the playoffs, none of those teams should want to play that team.
No. I mean, Oklahoma City's only kryptonite
is themselves.
Is themselves and a little bit of the San Antonio Spurs. Other than that, I mean, I'm still riding that San Antonio bandwagon.
They're in it until they're out of it. It's the Spurs. It doesn't matter.
But Oklahoma City, I would
none of these teams should want to play a 7-game series against Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
No,
nobody should want to do that.
And this year, I've always liked Kevin Durant. Never really credited Russell Westbrook. Always talked bad about him. But my mind has changed a little bit on him, just like it did with Blake Griffin when he was with the Clippers. And Kyle can vouch for me because I always talked bad about the guy. But then I started watching him play more. And last week we watched the Clippers Warriors game.
Yep.
And his game has changed, because I always thought he was just inside post, I'm going to dunk, do this crap and all that, but his game has changed. And the same thing with Westbrook, you know, I've seen it more now that he's passionate about the game.
Oh, yeah.
I know he wants to be a leader of the team, and I'm hoping he will understand sooner or later that, you know, whether Durant stays or not, that he's still the guy in Oklahoma City. Until then, you know, you're not playing second fiddle, but Durant knows, hey, when his guy's hot. And Westbrook should understand when Durant's hot. And I think he's starting to understand that. So I'm giving the guy a lot more credit now. I don't talk bad about him. But with them two clicking, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, no one should want to play that team.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
I'm sorry, didn't the Warriors play the Thunder that night? We were at your house. And the Rockets and Houston. I'm sorry. Yes, Warriors played Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And the Clippers played Cleveland that night.
Yeah. So that's right.
And Westbrook was dominant in that game.
Oh yeah.
I mean, those four on the court: Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. If those four on the court, you didn't need anybody else, because it was like 2-on-2, and I mean, it was phenomenal, but I would not want to play Oklahoma City.
Yep, right. I agree.
So,
last question.
All right, last question. Kind of has to do with the playoffs. If the playoffs just started now, who's your favorite to win it all?
So that would be Oklahoma City out of it if they just started the way it is now. Then. Yeah, we'll say that.
Yeah, we'll say that.
I just gave it. If Oklahoma City's in it, I always got to ride.
Yeah, you're going
to
ride with Oklahoma.
If right now, I'm going to have to ride Golden State, because they would have home court, and I think they have – it's almost like Seattle in the NFL. I think they kind of have the best home court in the NBA, it's loud. You know, Oracle gets rowdy. You know, and they're diehard fans. Even when they suck, they're there. You know, so you got to give it to them. I think them. I like Steph Curry. Klay Thompson's taking another step forward. Steve Kerr has done a better job than I thought he would do. They're playing actually pretty decent defense than they normally do. They're only giving up 99 points a game. They're scoring 110. So if it started right now, Golden State, they have the home court advantage. They get to the finals. Not that it would be easy through the West, but then they would play either Atlanta or Cleveland, in my opinion, in the finals. And I think they'd get home court in that as well. And they'd finish that series off in probably 6 games, 4-2. What about you?
I'm riding with San Antonio.
San Antonio.
I mean, I understand that the 6 teams ahead of them are right now are a little better, but you have 5-time champs.
Mm-hmm.
You have arguably go down in history as the greatest or one of the greatest coaches of all time. He'll be one of the greatest coaches of all time, greatest coach of this era.
Oh, for sure.
In Popovich. You got Duncan, you still got Parker, you still got Ginobili, you got an up-and-coming rising Kawhi Leonard. Their bench is still tight.
Yep.
San Antonio knows when to put it into high gear. It would be tough with Golden State being the number one seed and having home court going in there, because Golden State is, you know, they're a finesse team on offense. They're definitely not a finesse team on the defense. So it would actually balance itself out for San Antonio, because they'd be able to stop them on defense, and then on offense they'd be able to, you know, it'd be a high scoring game either way. But I'm still riding with San Antonio, you know. So
can't count them out until they're out.
Nope.
So. All right.
So that is our topics of the NBA. Our questions for each other. great NBA season. All Star break is coming up soon here, right?
Yeah, I think the game is on February 15th.
Yeah, because I think it's after 41 games, then we have the All-Star break. People will watch it, some people won't. I'm not a big fan of it, just due to the fact because it's just to show your talents off. Same with the NFL. I think if you really want an All-Star game, you have to kind of incorporate it like MLB does, but who knows what that's all about. I definitely will be watching the Pro Bowl, maybe a couple minutes to see if my boy Odell has a nice sick catch, but we'll see. So that is our NBA topics. If you want to call in, give us your feedback. It's 714-694-4511. Once again, that's 714-694-4511. We'll be on there for the next 15, 20 minutes. So call in, chime in. Do whatever you want to do. Darren, are you out there? Hit you up. I haven't heard anything on Facebook.
One more thing. Austin Rivers last night.
Woo!
Yeah, woo! Big stat line. Had to give a shout out for Austin Rivers for Austin.
Yeah. That's Austin's boy.
Yeah. Woo! All right, man. So on to the Max Scherzer.
On to some baseball news. So Max Scherzer, the high priority free agent pitcher, signed a 7-year, $210 million deal with the Washington Nationals. That just tightened up that rotation with you have Strasburg, him, you have Jordan Zimmerman, or am I saying it right?
I think that's right.
I'm not a big fan of, you know, the freaking Nationals. So all right, so you'll have Doug Fister, you'll have Jordan Zimmerman, you have Max Scherzer, you have Gio Gonzalez,
and Strasburg.
So that's a 5-man.
And Jordan Zimmerman, you're right.
Jordan Zimmerman.
Okay.
Doug Fister, Gio, Scherzer, and
Strasburg.
So it's 5-man rotation if they go with a 5-man rotation. So you pitch every fifth day. $210 million Okay, baseball.
Let me just say
baseball needs to get away with signing these players to such a big contract.
Let me just say that the percentage of him living up to that huge contract is slim.
Salary for the year is $15,525,000. The lowest.
Oh, I'll never make that in my life.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That's more than where is
who are we looking for?
Five times more than supposedly who was supposed to be the best pitcher coming out back 2-3 years ago in Strasburg.
Strasburg?
Yeah. So that's five times more than Strasburg is making. So but
it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And yes, he was dominant in Detroit. He's 30 years old, so they'll have him until he's 37, which your arm can give out at any time,
Yeah.
I mean, but now, if you think...
I don't agree with the deal myself.
But then there was also saying that they might not keep Strasburg. They might trade him away.
Well, I think that's dumb. Because he's younger.
Yeah. With Strasburg or someone else they were talking about.
You gonna promise Strasburg now? Like, what are you gonna do? Why are you gonna give him away?
Yeah. No, I don't care. They can give him away.
Not you, him, them.
Yeah.
Well, with Nationals. What's your beef with Strasburg all of a sudden, huh?
So the ERA last year was 3.15, 18 wins, 5 losses, 252 strikeouts. What a win of 118. His career is 358, 91-50. 1,321 strikeouts, and his whip is 1.22. Does this solidify the Washington Nationals as the favorite to win it all?
No, sir. Not at all. Not even close. I would still put the Dodgers above them. I would still put the Giants above them.
Even with the key losses with the Giants, with Sandoval?
Yeah, they still know how to get it done. They'll still find a way. The Cardinals will still find a way. The Nationals will find a way to screw it up like they always do. Bryce Harper is a little overrated, in my opinion. I think you agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Pretty sure they'll win the East again. But other than that, whenever they get to the playoffs, they haven't done squat. So until they prove me otherwise, no.
All right, I'm gonna give my brother's team a little love. Yes, the Washington Nationals may have the best rotation right now, but the Mets, their rotation's pretty solid too.
Yes, it is.
They just need to get a shortstop,
mm-hmm.
a couple more pieces. By far, nowhere near a Mets fan. The Mets can go rot in hell for all I care, but that team, they're gonna give Washington. Atlanta's gotten a little better. Miami's also picked up. Ichiro signed with Miami today.
Yep.
Which I'm a little upset. I wish we would have re-signed him.
Yeah.
But he's gonna, he's probably not gonna play all 162 games, but he's still gonna give them a little pop. And Ichiro's batted against the best of the best. So I don't see them running away with the division. Who knows what Scherzer's going to do over there. He's always been an American League pitcher.
Yep.
He's going to have to bat now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it always screws up your rotation there. So I agree with you. I don't see them the favorites to win at all because you still have St. Louis. You still got Pittsburgh. Cincinnati still do things. The Dodgers, the San Francisco Giants, the Braves, the Mets. That whole Eastern Conference, the whole National League East could,
They are not the clear-cut favorites at all. No.
Not one bit. Max Scherzer deal, 7 years, $210 million. Baseball, not even baseball, just owners need to get away from that. It's just it's just killing. Why? Because it kills us Yankee fans because we have some douche canoe that's being paid over $250-something million don't even want him on the team, but we're stuck with him due to the fact that no one's going to take his contract. We can't get rid of him. He's just a thorn in our back.
Some douche canoe.
So, it's, you know.
Yeah. I don't even want to get on that subject now.
So, but, that was a pretty crazy signing that, you know, that came out of nowhere due to the fact because I didn't think the Nationals were going to go that route because they had four solid starters to begin with. So,
we've seen a team try and stack their rotation before, and it hasn't exactly worked out. So, like I said, not going to. Are you listening right now? Were you listening, Austin?
Yeah, he said he still got the Clippers and Bulls making it to the finals. Sorry about that. That's just a little breaking news there.
Sticking to it.
Sticking to the Clippers and the Bulls going to the...
Stub Bulls.
So,
Bulls 200, Clippers nothing. Doubles.
Doubles. But back on to Max Scherzer. Yeah, it's just so... It's so tough. So, oh, man. It's just crazy. So, and then... I don't know about that. Some more news. Phillies are in talk with the Brewers for trading Papelbon. Scherzer gets $35 million per last three seasons. Can that... It's... I don't know. I can't... Whatever. So, Pedro to rep Red Sox on Hall of Fame plaque. Who would he rep?
Expos, bro.
But he can't. They don't even have hats or anything anymore. So they went to. Was he gonna rep a Washington National hat?
That's right, man.
So, outfield Gomes agrees to 1-year deal with the Braves. White Sox agreed to deal with Soto and Penny. Kelly Johnson's agreed to deal with the Braves. A-Rod meets with Bonds to get hitting tips. I gotta talk about that. One steroid user to another, you're going to go get hitting tips from him. You know, as much as Bonds didn't get caught with, you know, he's not this, that. Bonds is a steroid user by far. I saw him in 87 when he was at Pittsburgh, and then when he goes to the San Francisco Giants, he just blows up. There's no way you blow up like that without using some extra things. So then the steroid user A-Rod goes over to meets with him, gets some hitting tips. Also, Edgar Martinez. I have nothing wrong with Edgar Martinez, but Edgar, don't help a clown like him out, please. Do us Yankee fans a favor and just don't even talk to the guy. So, now let's check and see who are remaining free agent pitcher James Shield from the Royals. We need to make a play. The Yankees need to make a play. I'm not content with our starting rotation.
Nor am I, sir. But I feel like he's going to go to Detroit, play with David Price. If he just has a 1-year deal, I don't know.
And David Price.
Yankees just seem to be just sitting back.
Yeah. David Price avoided arbitration and signed a ginormous 1-year, almost $20 million deal. Now, I can see the guy can pitch. David Price can pitch. So,
yep.
But I think it's like 74 days till opening day, 29, 28 days till pitchers and catchers come. Once February hits, you start smelling it in the air if you're baseball fans like us. Love the game, because that's my next thing after once football is over. You know, I do watch basketball, but I'm not hardcore into it due to the fact that I think it's a wussy game now. I do follow my Knicks. Hockey, and then you have the baseball, so which we have the Hockey All-Star coming up, and biggest snub for me is, and I'm going to be a homer, is Henry Lundqvist, snub from the All-Star game. Right now, he is the hottest goaltender in the league. Had us on a 8-game winning streak, and you're going to snub one of the,
premier goalies in the game.
Yeah, so that's just some BS. We did get Rick Nash in there, it's just stupid. So
Denver Nuggets looking to trade for Brook Lopes.
Really?
Yeah, I just read it.
Who are they going to give?
I have no idea.
Nice. So, all right, that's pretty much our show for the night. Next week, next Friday, Football Friday, Super Bowl, that weekend, we'll talk about both teams, who we think the X factor is going to be.
We'll do what we did last year.
Yeah.
We, you know, went in depth with a lot of questions, a lot of research, a lot of statistics, both sides of the ball for both teams, X factors of both, best matchup. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be very cool.
Yes,
it's going to be a good show.
So,
hour and a half worth of just Super Bowl talk.
Definitely, and our picks of who will win it all.
Of course.
And then, so that's our Friday for there. We hope you all enjoyed the show. And remember, call in 714-694-4511. We want to hear from you guys. We have, want to announce, we have reached over the 1,000 like mark.
That's right.
We're at 1,003. Thanks for all the new fans that joined us. Want to give a shout out to you. You know, let your friends know to hit us up our look us up on Blog Talk Radio, listen to our archives, let us know what you think of the show, Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/APSports, twitter.com/APSports. Hit us up, we'll hit you back. Not afraid to. So we hope you all have a great weekend. Not too much. Well, let's see what's going on college basketball this weekend.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing diamond ring wearing kid stealing. Woo! We are dealing. Limousine right. Jet flying. Son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators off.
That's what's happening this weekend.
Yeah. crazy. Yeah. Not too much. No football really. This weekend, unless you do like watching the Pro Bowl, but let's see what games are on. Where is tomorrow? We got some college basketball. What games we got tomorrow? We have Kentucky at South Carolina, Gonzaga at Pacific, Wisconsin at Michigan, Arizona at California, Iowa State at Texas Tech, Kansas at Texas, which should be pretty good. 11-17, Florida State at North Carolina, TCU at West Virginia, Oklahoma at Baylor, Richmond at Dayton, and Iowa at Purdue. Those are top 25 games. And Division One, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, not too many really hardcore games. But
Sunday, Coach K goes for number 1,000.
Sunday.
Yep.
Who are they playing Sunday? Duke at St. John's at 2 p.m. So, that'd be a game for you guys to watch. It's on Fox, so I'll watch it to see if we can get a 1,000th win. That'd be nice. Other than that, that's about it. That's our show for the night. We hope you all enjoyed. Next time, call in. That's what we're here for. We want to hear from you. We're tired of hearing each other's voices. So as much as I love this guy, I talk to him all the time. So, but we hope you guys enjoyed the show. Darren, I'm hoping you are at work because I know you never miss it. Our backstage coach wasn't here tonight, so he wasn't hitting us with hardcore stats. But hopefully he'll be here next week when we're talking about Super Bowl. So enjoy your weekend. Have a great weekend. We will catch you all on Friday. We are out.
See ya.
Later. Listen, all you New Yorkers.